Nobody trusts anybody now. We're all very tired.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Hate to Interrupt podcast, the number one male gigolo podcast in the world. I'm Asian Nick.
I'm Nick from Stop Culture.
I'm White Nick.
And this week we spent a lot of time watching all of the Terrifier movies. I mean, because the third one came out this past weekend, and Tim just informed us that it made more money than Joker 2 in its opening weekend. Is that true?
I mean, that is true. When I say that, I mean that like it hit number one at the box office. So like Jonkler 2
overtook fully Joker.
Yeah, like so Jonkler 2 even dumpier was like knocked out of the number one spot. Not that it was making much money anyway, but Terrifier 3 took it for the number one spot, which like regardless of how you feel about the film, I think deserves a lot of praise, you know, because like Terrifier 3 is like an independently made movie. It's a very low budget, like high octane horror film that made by a guy who at the end of the day made what he wanted to make. You know, it's not like some like corporate sellout shill like piece of shit or whatever. Like the guy wanted to make this and he got the end result is a movie that for better or worse is his vision, and he's getting financially rewarded for that, and I think that deserves a lot of praise.
Yeah, and I kind of suggested this because I like them to an extent, which I'll talk about in a bit. But I had a feeling they probably wouldn't be the biggest fans of it. But I mean, it is about to be spooky season, so spooky episode.
Yeah, might as well get into it.
I've kind of been like vaguely aware of the Terrifier franchise. I've seen Art the Clown is kind of like an iconic horror character, I think. Even though I hadn't seen it, I was obviously like aware of who he is because I'm a fan of horror. But it was really cool actually to, even though I didn't really love these movies, I thought it was cool to see the increase in basically every aspect of filmmaking. He kind of improved on each installment of this franchise, which is kind of, it's a cool thing to be able to watch that in real time. Like a filmmaker, as he gets more steady handed and more funding, is able to realize his vision more effectively through each film, which to me, that's a pretty cool thing to watch.
I feel like he
realized it in 2, and then 3 was him just kind of pushing the button as far as he possibly can, you know, trying to outdo himself.
I feel like 2
was basically like his vision all along somewhat.
I felt like the deaths and gore in 3 were a bit tamer and lamer than I was expecting compared to like the second one. Not that like it didn't have any gross like gore. There were like plenty of shit like that in the second one.
Bro, doing a fucking 360,
yeah, again,
fucking around in
the
circle while he's getting cut in half.
The second one had like plenty of things that were just as violent as that. So by the time I got to the third one, I was just like, okay, cool. Uh-huh. I guess this is just kind of more of the same shit, you know? Like it's decently well put off, I guess, but like
honestly, I feel like he didn't know how to outdo himself, so he's like, what do I do? Let's kill kids.
Chainsaw in asshole in shower. Yeah, that's the way to go.
I honestly feel like the killing the kids thing was if anybody was on the fence about Terrifier and they see that, they're probably like, I don't want to watch these anymore.
Well, you say they kill kids. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's a story that I was reading about there was kind of some controversy behind the marketing of this movie, because apparently the marketing team sort of tricked a couple theaters full of people they were going to be watching like some kind of like normal movie that's not fucking absolutely demented and disgusting like Terrifier series. And people, like, you know, obviously they just wanted a headline that was like, oh, people vomited and walked out, or you know how hard stuff sells the movies.
Well, somebody hit me up on Instagram and they were like, because I posted something about going to see it, and they were like, did people leave your theater whenever you went? And I was like, no. Did people leave yours? And they're like, well, my friends all went and they said there was like families just leaving in droves. I'm like, Yeah, they're fucking families walking into fucking the Terrifier movie. Like, why are you walking to Terrifier 3?
This is the third one. If you don't know what you're in for at this point, that's really on you. That's your fucking fault.
Yeah, but I mean, I could kind of understand that. I mean, just imagine you're a parent and you're like, oh, my kid's like kind of into horror movies. Like, you know, maybe he's like 13 or something. Like, I would not go take a 13-year-old to go see this, but I might go take a 13-year-old to see like a Conjuring movie, you know, or something like that, or even like another lightly rate, like R-rated thing, you know. I mean, so I could totally understand why people walked out in the middle of it.
See,
you know?
It's funny you mentioned that, because like these movies would have been perfect if I was like a prepubescent like teenager who like didn't fucking know any better and only liked like.
When you say know any better, what is that? What do you mean by that?
Well, like, now that I'm a grown adult and like my taste in horror has been more refined and changed, when I watch shit like this, I was just like, wow, this is just the most like fan fiction-y type shit ever, where it's just like, teehee, isn't it cool that we exploded the mom's head with the shotgun and then mashed potatoes in it in its open face? Ooh, teehee, that's so
I wouldn't
so
say
quirky.
It's
like,
I would just say it's a different genre of horror though than like than what you like, right? Like, I think
slashers?
There's a place for
I've seen plenty of gory slashers films before. I don't like this is not,
but even when you're
I've
looking at gory
to.
Slashers, even when you're talking about gory slashers, like slashers, all that fucking matters is like the main like villain, and like Art the Clown is like a well done like villain, regardless
in
terms
of
how all the just the way his mannerisms and the way he like handles the kills and him actually being like having that like good mix of like scary and funny.
I mean, I kind of look at Art the Clown in the same way that I look at something like say like Jason from the Friday the 13th movies. Like, yeah, he's like cool to look at, and yes, the kills are cool. I'm not gonna deny that. The kills are very cool, but like at a certain point I kind of need more than that. Like, if this is all you're offering me, because everything else about these movies fucking suck. They suck fucking dick. Like, the writing is just the most embarrassing, like cringe teenager like writing ever. Like the first,
but what
the
are you comparing
it
to? That's the way
the
any
first
slasher
film
is.
I mean, some slashers are incredibly well written. Like the first Nightmare on the first Nightmare on Elm
the
dialogue
Street.
I would argue is pretty
Street,
well written.
The
New Nightmare
the
is an incredibly well written film in terms of being like
also
a very
has
like a meta take. I mean, yeah, but it's also well written in the sense that it's a meta take on both the franchise and what Freddy Krueger has become. Like, I'm not saying that it doesn't have corny, cheesy '80s dialogue. But there's a difference between corny dialogue and then something being smartly written. Like, it's still a smartly written script at the end of the day, both the first Nightmare on Elm Street and New Nightmare are. So, like,
yeah, I agree.
But this is just like, it's just violence and, like, that's it. And, like, if you're into that, that's great. And I'm not saying there's no value to that at all. But, like, when your movie is 2.5 fucking hours long, there seriously better be other shit besides the violence. Because, like, at a certain point, the violence gets so fucking monotonous that I get just as bored watching the gore as much as anything else that happens in the second and the third one.
So I actually have something to say about that. And I thought about that a lot because the second movie is way too fucking long. But when I actually sat down and tried to, like, think about things that, like, I would take out of it, like, I couldn't think of any specific, like, moments that, like, needed to be removed. And like the third, it was like 30 minutes shorter. But then, like, if you look at the ending, it was fucking rushed to hell. Like, they basically felt like it was like a rush to the finish line in the last like 20 minutes.
No,
so
they
like,
were doing Avengers Infinity War shit. They were trying to set up the fucking epic final conclusion to this series. They weren't rushing anything. They were purposely
no,
doing
but then
that
they like
set
off
up the
screened,
fourth one.
They off screened the fucking brother, which I guess that means he's probably not actually dead. But, like, everything felt really rushed at the end. And, like, can y'all name anything in the second movie that, like, you think the movie would be, like, would work better if they removed?
I think they could have significantly shortened, like, the entire party scene. I get that, like, that was, she was away while all this, like, horrible shit was happening to her family. That's kind of the purpose of it, I suppose. But they could have definitely cut that. There was a lot of fat there. Like, there was no need for the entire Molly sequence, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that was dumb as fuck. That's I was true. Just like, what the fuck is this shit? I honestly think if you cut out basically this movie, like, attempts to be like, it attempts to tell a narrative, but it's so terribly written and the actors don't do a good job that I'm just like, if you cut out every single like family drama bullshit scene in this film, I would probably like it more honestly. Like if it was just some like cheesy, dumb, like stupid, like 90 minute long, like splatter and gore film, like Hostel or Saw or something like that, I honestly would prefer that. I would prefer that way more than whatever the fuck like these last two films do, where they like attempt to like build some fucking biblical epic narrative that I'm just like, God, no one fucking cares. Say, just like get to the clown kills, which aren't get monotonous at like a certain point because again, the movies are so fucking long. Like,
I think the acting got a lot better in the third one compared to the second one. I think the actress they have to play like Sienna is actually pretty serviceable.
I agree. Yeah, I think she's okay.
Sure, if you. Fine. Yeah, but
Tim, I feel like if you wanted a movie like that, why did you like the second one more than the first one? Because the thing you said, I would have preferred it to be just like a 90-minute Splatterfest, but that's kind of basically what the first one is. There's not really a story in that one as
I
much.
Think it's a really tough thing to talk about because like the first one I guess is sort of that, but the problem is almost every single technical aspect of the film is just so dog shit that like I can't even enjoy it from that angle. I can't even enjoy it as like a this is some dumb like gory like splash fest for 90 minutes type thing. I couldn't even enjoy it in that sense because everything about it is fucking
I will
awful.
Say the first one I and like, the first second, one felt like a Tubi movie almost.
It's like some shit that like my high school friends and I would make together like out in the woods. Like it's just like it screams like student film. And the second one, it still has the same like terrible problems when it comes to like narrative and structure. But I can admit that like a lot of the violence is definitely improved, not just in terms of like the way like the practical like effects are put on screen, but also just like how they're shot and edited. I think it's a massive improvement from the first one. Like I can still remember that scene where Art the Clown like gets a Tommy gun and then blast the shit out of everyone and like
the clown cafe scene is fucking sick
thing whatever. I can admit that was a pretty good scene. I'll give them that was good. So yeah, it's I none of these give me anything what I want is what I'm saying. They all fucking stink.
You know, it's one thing that I thought was so weird about the second movie, it's like, and you know, it's sort of brought into the third one, that the sword that her father has is kind of like the most important artifact in this entire series, yet it like you couldn't have splurged a little bit to get like a cool fucking looking sword. Thing looks
it's
like
just
a,
this
like,
little dwarf sword.
It looks like a
sword.
Fucking letter opener. It's like what even is that?
It looks like something that I would get from like fucking like a gift shop at
like
Universal or something. You know, yeah, Party City.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think it's silly, but I think I kind of like. I think it's funny though. Like, I don't know. I think you can't take these movies too seriously. Because I mean,
try.
I don't think
no, they
so.
Don't though.
I don't think they try.
Like how are they trying? Like the whole entire like Santa Claus scene in the third movie is like proof that they're not even trying to fucking take this shit seriously.
I mean, you say that, but they still expect me to give a shit about like Sienna as a character. They still expect me to give a shit about like her traumatized past and how she's barely like recovering as like a victim of Art the Clown and like all that shit. Like you like yeah,
but
I
that's just
that
part of having a story.
There are parts that are tongue in cheek that are trying to be like, teehee, isn't it funny? Because Art the Clown dressed up as Santa, isn't that cool? But then there are other parts where like they genuinely expect you to give a shit, and I'm like, I don't. Like, why does this matter? You know, it's again,
so,
like,
I feel like
let me ask you this. Like, so in the first movie, there's basically, I guess, you know, you follow the one brunette girl and then her sister, and they're both pretty much like non-protagonists. And then in the second and third, you follow Sienna. I personally feel like having an attachment to a character that's, you know, actually characterized like Sienna is, it kind of, it makes you care a little bit more about what Art's doing because you have kind of more of an attachment to the characters, you know? So I felt like that was sort of the biggest thing that was an improvement in the second and third one was Sienna, you know?
Again, if they're going to do that again, they better get me to care about the main character. Like, I'm not saying you can't do that. Plenty of like successful horror franchises have done this shit all the time, you know, like Nightmare on Elm Street, like I mentioned before. John Carpenter's Halloween also does a good job of that, because I actually really like what the fuck's her face? Laurie Strode, that was it. From the first two Halloweens, you know,
Sienna has better characterization than Laurie Strode, whatever the fuck.
In what way?
Because in the 80s, most of the characters were just came down to like their like classification and not like any kind of actual personality. They were just a type of character. They didn't actually have personality.
I don't think that's correct. That's not true for Halloween. I don't know what you're talking about.
True in Halloween. I didn't feel anything for fucking Laurie Strode whenever I watched the first Halloween movie. I liked Halloween, but
the only thing that really separates Laurie Strode from any of the other teens in that movie is that she's like a little bit more.
It also helps that that Jamie Lee Curtis can actually act for shit. So, you know, like, even if you don't necessarily think like Laurie Strode is like a complex, multi-layered character, which I'm not saying she is, at least Jamie Lee Curtis like gives a good enough performance where I can still sympathize with her and like find her performances believable. Like, I still think about the scene in the original Halloween where Laurie Strode is hiding in the closet and she's like struggling as like Michael Myers tries to reach for her in the closet. I still remember that scene, and it's still visually striking. It still terrifies me sometimes. And it's funny because like John Carpenter's Halloween is arguably like kind of like what the first couple of these Terrifier movies are, just like very low budget, like do it yourself type filmmaking where you just get the gang together to dick around and, you know, make a slasher horror movie. And, you know, unlike the Terrifier movies, Halloween actually like offers something more than just, man, aren't the kills so cool or whatever, you know, like the score from John Carpenter is also really amazing. I like the way it's shot. I think that's also like, great.
I think that's not really fair though, because I would say like even Halloween 1 was Halloween 1 was even like closer to on par with like the Terrifier 3's budget, right? Like the Terrifier like 1 and 2, like I think Terrifier 2 had like a $250,000 budget, which is fucking nothing.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, not that we should, not that it's really fair to compare this to like one of the greatest horror directors or and one of the most classic horror movies of all time. Like, I don't know if that's fair, but just in terms of like creating an atmosphere and yeah, having interesting characters or an interesting antagonist, I think like Michael Myers obviously kind of like blows Art the Clown out of the water for me, at least in terms of like actually making me feel afraid. And I get that's partially because he's half like a comical character, but I definitely, you know, prefer Michael Myers and more
like a Chucky or like a later Freddy Krueger than like a Jason.
Oh, dear God. This is God.
No, we were comparing him to Michael Myers, though, I thought.
I just love Nightmare on Elm Street. I just had to do it.
I do too. Dream Warriors is like one of my favorite like horror movies ever. So
yeah,
I'm not trying to shit on them either.
One of the more entertaining ones. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to compare these shitty clown like gore fests to like actual good movies, but I kind of need to kind of prove my point on why these movies don't work for me. And I'm naming examples of actual violent horror films that do work for me. Cause like, okay, let's take another example. Let's take something like Texas Chainsaw Massacre that, you know, like I don't really go to that movie for like the deep characters. Cause quite frankly, there aren't any, but they are memorable in the sense that like, their performances are memorable enough that I can like remember each of them. Like I still remember Franklin. I still remember the final girl, whatever her name is. I know she's the final girl, and that's about it. And also like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, just in general, like it's still going for the like hyper violent, hyper like gory, like violence. The difference between Terrifier and Texas Chainsaw is that it's actually an incredibly well-made film. Like the sound design of Texas Chainsaw alone blows away literally anything that happens in these Terrifier movies. Like whenever the chainsaw just like goes off, you can feel like the visceral emotions that emits from like these like really depraved moments. And the lack of music in these films also work effectively well to creating these like really scary, intenseful moments. Like that's like a horror movie that's trying to be super violent and super gory that works because it's made by someone who can actually like competently direct shit. And then, but I don't get any of that from.
I don't. I'm not going to say this is better than any of those movies you listed. But
sure, yeah.
Can you even think of like a modern like slasher that comes anywhere near as like close to like capturing the feel of those movies as The Terrifier? Like in the last like 20 years,
I much preferred Thanksgiving Eli Roth's movie over anything in the Terrifier. Oh, Terrifier
Killing
franchise.
Was fucking horrible, bro.
I thought it was so much better than these movies.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I agree that Thanksgiving was so much better than these movies, but I also did not like Thanksgiving at all.
I mean, I don't really like any movies in this genre very much, but in terms of like just keeping me interested with something like a little bit more than just the. Being like, oh, those practical effects are kind of cool, because the gore,
fucking hate Eli Roth.
The gore and the violence are so cartoonish that it's you don't even no matter how much effort is expended on trying to get you to care about the characters, you ultimately never really do, because when they die, it looks like a joke every time. And I get that's part of it. Whatever, I don't know. It just doesn't really work for me. You know, like I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought X was a lot of fun. I didn't think X was like amazing or anything, but I thought it was a lot of fun for what it's trying to go for.
One thing that annoyed me about Terrifier 3 was I feel like they off-screened a lot of the like, I mean, I guess the mom, they did the like rat thing, which was kind of cool and fucked up. But like the dad character, like it kind of set it up for us to like kind of like him even more than the mom character, and they just off-screened his death. I feel like they spent time on kills that didn't matter that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That happens in like every one of these movies. They spend time on deaths that don't matter and then just be like, oh, fuck, I forgot. We have to do the story because that also matters, I guess. You know, like like there's plenty of that in these movies.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely don't think they're perfect. And I honestly think I like the second one more. The more I think about it, I thought I liked the third one more when I walked out of theaters, but
I mean, I'm really curious to see where this goes from here, because it seems like it's having a pretty big moment right now, especially like on social media and doing really well at the box office. I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Blumhouse picked this entire thing up, you know, and just like gave it, I mean, they don't even really do big budgets to begin with, but gave it like even $10 million. Like I would be curious to see what this guy would do with that.
I don't even know if he'd want $10 million.
Yeah, I don't think he'd want that either. I would be more interested if, like, well, because, like, part of the charm is that these movies are so low budget that, like, you know, that'd be like if you, like, went from, like, the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which was, like, probably a few couple of million, and you gave it this, like, Marvel movie budget of $100 million. You're just like, what the fuck? Like, how did we get here, you know?
It's also a bigger uphill battle to like make the money back too, because like you have to keep in mind that these movies, while they're like famous, like popular among like horror fans, like general audiences, once they know what Terrifier is, they're like, I'm not fucking going to see that.
Yeah, like my mom is not going to see these movies like at all, and like that's the kind of draw you need for these like massive big budget movies. Like my mom needs to be interested enough to see them.
I don't think that's true. I mean, Blumhouse's entire business model is like keeping the budgets under $20 million. So no matter what happens, they make their money back as long as they get in a certain amount of theaters. Like they'll be good.
Yeah, I think he would definitely make his money back. It just depends on how big he wants to go with it, I guess.
Because I don't think it's the low budget is part of it, but I think what people really like about it is the practical effects and the kind of homage to older generations of horror. I think that's really what people like about it, you know?
Yeah.
I will say, I don't think I would prefer these Terrifier movies to get like these like massive, I mean like massive in Blumhouse standards, like budgets, but I would be interested if like Blumhouse gave him like a relatively like decently sized budget of like, let's say like 10, 12 million or something like that to make whatever next like violent gore fest that he wants to make next. I could get behind that. I would be interested enough to see like what he does that isn't just, you know, killer clown kills people for like 2 hours. I would be interested to see like what his like newish project would be that isn't just Terrifier shit, you know.
I don't see him doing that for a while, but I agree. I'm interested to see what he does next.
I think,
especially now that he's kind of like honed his craft a little bit more.
If it's not Killer Clown, it'll just be fucking killer something else. Like
that's killer all shark.
Yeah, literally. I think that's all he really wants to do with his filmmaking career. I mean, I don't know. Would you disagree, Nick? I feel like that's all he really wants to do is these slasher movies.
I've watched a few interviews with him, and I could see him kind of branching out a bit, but like not too far, you know?
Yeah.
Like I could see him doing something a little bit more story driven, but he would still probably be doing the same type of shit in it.
Yeah. I mean, I respect that. Like I respect filmmakers who just know what they are and just like what they like. And I mean, as long as they exceed at that, then, you know, then who the fuck is going to argue with them? It's why, like, I have a lot of massive respect for someone, say, like Michael Bay, more than I like his actual movies. You know, say what you will about Michael Bay, but the guy knows what he likes, and the guy really goes hard on what he likes seeing in his films and how he likes approaching action. You know, you got to.
I would honestly say he's a. I would say Michael Bay is a very competent filmmaker.
Michael Bay, his action movies stand out. You got to give him credit. Like when you watch one of his movies, you can tell it's his movies. Like you can tell watching his films. Oh yeah, this is Michael Bay. You know, it's in the same way. It's like Michael Bay's is like a frattier, more douchebag version of like Tony Scott. Cause like Tony Scott also has that like similar vibe where when you watch one of his movies, you can like instantly tell it's him just based on how he shoots action. It's like kind of a similar concept.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we don't have to stick on Terrifier too much longer. I mean, we kind of have said most of it. But I guess on the same, like, or on, like, a little bit of a different type of path, have y'all seen The Void?
I feel maybe. I've seen Enter the Void.
Enter the Void.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen The Void.
Well, damn. I was going to bring up something. So there's a guy named Steven Kostanski, and he worked on The Void. He was, like, a co-creator of The Void, which is, like, this, like, ode to The Thing, like, and they have like these crazy fucking practical effects as well, and it's just a really fucking cool movie, also made on like the tiniest budget ever. It's a really good horror movie. Anybody who hasn't seen it, you should go check out The Void. But he made this follow-up movie solo called Psycho Goreman, which I don't know if y'all have seen that either, but also really cool movie. Like it's not really a horror movie, but it's like it's almost like if Power Rangers was R-rated. And it's just the most absurd shit I've ever seen in my life, but it's so fucking funny. But he has a new movie coming out that I'm seeing tomorrow called Frankie Freako. And it looks basically like a reboot of Ghoulies. Like it's like his version of like a super like disgusting Ghoulies, and I'm really excited for it. So anybody who has Frankie Freako playing next to them, I recommend going to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really, this is definitely not the genre of horror, subgenre of horror that I'm interested in. I'm, for the most part, I love, like, that's why I was asking you, I was like, oh, like, well, is Art the Clown supernatural? Because that would have at least made me be like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Because I kind of like ghosts and demons and shit like that, you know?
But. They kind of play around with that in like the first one. They were like trying to be a little ambiguous with that. But then like by the second one, they're just like, nope, he's from hell.
I didn't even understand the ending because, like, they were saying that the chick is a conduit, and then they kill her, and then Art's just fine.
Well, she's not connected to Art necessarily. She gave birth to him, but I don't think that means that if she dies, he has to die, right?
But I literally thought that was what they were saying, but maybe I was just misunderstanding. But
I think she's a conduit to that other. I don't know if it's hell or like another realm or whatever, you know. The clown world that they live in. In the second one, they go to that
I mean, honestly, that could be what they use the budget for in the next one, like using that, like they're creating that big like hell world. So I mean, maybe that is what they're kind of going for, where Sienna has to go to hell place and save what's her name, Gabriella or
Hellraiser.
That'd be sick.
Have you guys ever seen a Hellraiser Hell World?
Yes.
No.
I just
that really fucking sucks.
You said Hell World, and I kept thinking of Hellraiser Hell World. Sorry.
That's the one where they're like, joke. It's like in the video or in like the virtual world, right?
That's Hell World. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that movie fucking licked my ass.
And it had Henry Cavill for like some reason, and what was his name? Lance Henriksen. Yeah, that's him.
It's crazy how like a lot of like weird slashers just have like big ass actors right before they get big.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these Hellraiser movies just like randomly had that shit. Like the, I think it's the fifth one. The fifth one was directed by Scott Derrickson for like some fucking reason. I was like, that's weird. Yeah, I think the fourth one had Adam Scott. I also thought that was kind of weird, but whatever.
I didn't know he was in that.
Yeah.
Nick, what is your favorite genre of horror?
I think my favorite genre of horror would be anything that's like atmospheric, leaning on the supernatural side, but also, you know, stuff that has good like family drama in it. Family drama and horror has always been interesting to me. Just anything that's like quieter, a little bit more deliberate, not necessarily leaning on the gore or anything, more on like psychological fear, you know, not really anything that's trying to disgust me so much, you know. I'm not really into that so much.
I mean, I like all kinds of horror, to be honest. Like, there isn't like a form of horror that I'll say no to. There are some that I don't take as seriously as like others. Like, this is just a personal preference, but I don't really find like ghost slash exorcist slash like demon movie scary at all, because I don't like find most of that shit scary anyway. It's why I thought, okay, here's a hot take. I thought The Exorcist is one of the most boring, overrated films ever. I was like barely staying awake trying to watch that one. I was like, whatever, I don't give a shit about this. But I also just like don't care for that stuff anyway. Like, it takes a lot out of me to like, it takes a particular type of film for me to get into that type of shit, you know? Like, I normally don't care about period pieces at all. But Barry Lyndon is such an amazing movie that it makes me forget that it's a period piece and I love it anyway. You know, I still haven't found like the Barry Lyndon equivalent to that. I guess like The Shining is like sort of close to that because it's kind of a ghost story. But like, I think of it more as like a psychological horror descent into madness type shit than like.
But I mean, it is a ghost story though.
I mean, it is, but you know, I don't think ghost story when I think Shining. I think of shit like, I don't know, like you said, like Conjuring or whatever. I'm thinking of more like that than anything. But to answer your question, I guess like my top favorite horror subgenres, it would either be like psychological, like horror, like surrealist nightmares type shit, or body horror. I also really, really love body horror. Like, I think I've mentioned The Substance like a couple times throughout the podcast. It's like my favorite film of the year so far. It's an amazing, amazing film.
I will be watching that very soon, because I want
to
see it.
I had tickets to go watch it, and then I showed up to the Alamo Draft House like fucking 5 minutes late, and they're like, oh, we're not seating for that anymore. I was like, there's fucking 20 minutes of previews fucked going on, and they wouldn't let me in. It sucked.
I've never had Alamo turn me away, even when I'm late. That's crazy.
No, wait, Timmy, just talk about The Exorcist for a second, because that's one of my favorite movies.
I can't back this take.
What?
Is this going to be another Rocky thing?
You said this
thing
before, but like, go ahead, can explain yourself.
Well, I mean, I'll just explain why I think it's so great, because even if you don't necessarily believe in that stuff, which I don't think, you know, most people do, it's really just, I think the way the film takes you through each step of this mother, like trying to figure out what's wrong with her daughter, and like when through the process of elimination, like everything, you know, they do brain scans, they can't figure it out. The psychiatrists are like, go to a priest, you know, like when the fuck would that ever happen? She's just like so out of her mind by the end of it that it's, regardless of your belief in this stuff or if it even scares you, like I feel like the mom's I think her name's Ellen Burstyn, I think her performance is so effective in that movie.
I didn't think The Exorcist is overrating because I don't believe in ghosts or whatever. Like, that's not the main point I was trying to get across. I was just trying to say it's really fucking boring. And, like, I didn't find a lot of the performances that believable. I didn't care about any of the characters whatsoever. Like, the first, like, half was so boring that, like, I literally forgot it was a horror movie for a while. I was like, when the spooky shit starts happening in the second half, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a horror film. I, like, forgot, you know?
But that's part of what makes it effective.
I don't even consider, like, I don't even consider The Exorcist good because it's a good horror movie. It's just like a good drama in general. Like, even if you take all the spooky elements out of it, it's just a good movie overall. Well,
that's what The Shining is. The Shining is an incredibly, like,
but nobody's saying we don't like The Shining.
But it also, no, I'm saying, I'm giving you an example of, like, a version of that that I like, and The Shining is, like, an example of that. Perfect Blue is also an example of that. You know, Perfect Blue is, like, one of my favorite horror movies as well.
William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist, he kind of had a background in, like, documentaries, so it sort of makes sense that the movie is, it's very naturalistic. It's, like, not a ton of style to it. It's kind of just bluntly showing, like, showcasing the events that are, like, what's happening in the story. I don't know if you guys have seen Exorcist 3, but that was directed by the writer of the first Exorcist and also, like, the Exorcist novels.
I heard that one was pretty good.
It's excellent.
I haven't seen it, but I heard it was good. Yeah.
I just actually watched it on VHS not that long ago.
Yeah, I watched it for the first time like a couple days ago. And you've probably seen the clip online where it's like the craziest jump scare ever. And it kind of lives up to it. It's fucking a really incredible scene. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know off the top of my head which one you're talking
about.
It's
the scene in the hospital where it just like, it's, you know, it lingers on this like long wide shot for a long time.
I'm not gonna describe that thing, but
yeah, no, that, I mean, that's just one part of the movie. It's you know, in the same way the Exorcist, it's very effective because it's so much of the horror is through implication. They don't actually like show you a lot of what this demon is actually doing. This one, it centers around like the demon possessing someone that's a serial killer. So he's killing like a bunch of people and kind of possessing different people to get into different locations and like deface, you know, religious statues and stuff. There's one part when he's in a church and they just show you that he like replaced the head of Jesus with the Joker, which sounds kind of stupid, but like they just cut to it really quickly and it's fucking terrifying. But I think
Exorcist 3 is definitely more goofy, which I like. I mean, I'm a big fan of like goofy horror. Like I like slashers, I like comedy horror shit. Like, because I don't really find horror movies scary in general. So like at least I get like some goofy silly shit as well.
I also love horror comedies a lot. They're so much fun. Like Shaun of the Dead, probably one of my favorite movies just in general, not just my favorite horror comedy. Really Evil funny. Dead 2 is fucking phenomenal. Like when I think of horror comedies, Evil Dead 2 is like the first thing I think of. It is genuinely like a masterpiece of filmmaking. Like you mentioned that like The Exorcist doesn't have much style when it comes to directing, and I guess that's kind of what I really need from these kinds of horror films, that like I really need to feel like the director just knows what they're doing. Not that I'm saying William Friedkin doesn't, but just like I need to see like way more energy when it comes to like the scares and like the kills and like the gore and stuff like that. Like Evil Dead 2, like there are so many shots in Evil Dead 2 that are still in my, that I can still visually remember in detail because of just the way certain scenes are shot. It's just such an excellently, excellently made film.
Well, I shouldn't say there's no visual style, because I mean, I don't know. When did you see it recently at all?
I saw it around the time when Exorcist Believer came out, whatever.
That was last year, I think. But no, I mean, there's the shot where Max von Sydow was like walking up to the house. That's an icon. That's on the DVD cover, I think, or the poster. Like, there's,
I definitely think there's
the
style to that movie.
The intro where he's in Iraq, I think there's a ton of really, really cool shots there. I mean, sure. I don't know. Yeah. I think
even
there's
the scenes
a reason
in the house
why
when the girl's losing her shit, like it looks fucking cool.
Yeah, and the staircase, obviously, the staircase is one of the most iconic horror locations in the history of cinema. So
I'll give it a rewatch. I'm gonna be honest, most of the movie just like went one ear in, the other ear out. Like I've forgotten like most of the film already, so I'll give it another chance. And
we'll definitely watch 3. Pay attention, yeah. Watch 3. I would be curious to see what you think of that.
Sure,
one.
Sure. Yeah.
But but yeah, Believer was kind of funny. Going back to our legacy sequel conversation.
Yeah,
bro.
I didn't see that. I watched the Red Letter Media video about it, and they were talking about how they were like, I guess whoever was behind this movie was like, we can't have a Roman Catholic exorcism because, you know, people aren't really so fond of them right now. So what if we had all the religions come together? It'll take all of them to exorcise.
Dude, it sucked watching that movie because Timbo fucking talks so much shit about David Gordon Green. And after watching that, I was like, I can't defend this man anymore. I have no good words I can say about him anymore.
It's like the Avengers when Jesus and the Buddha team up to exorcise the child. What a fucking wild ride that was.
Vishnu is Nick Fury, and he's like, there was an idea. He just comes into heaven.
I'm here to talk to you about the God initiative, the God Avengers initiative.
God damn it. That honestly would have been a better movie.
I could have made that movie. Hollywood, give me like $100 million. I'll make this shit.
Fucking hell, dude.
Was the original cast in Exorcist Believer at all? Did they bring back
Ellen
anyone?
I think Ellen Burstyn was in, like, played like the Nick Fury character, in the sense that, like, she's the one who's just like, oh my god, I remember when this shit happened to me, and I've become an expert now in the ghouls, in the exorcist ghouls. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. And her performance is so phony and so, like, forced, that it's just like, this is clearly just a paycheck role for her. Like, she clearly just did this for the money, and apparently she did, because
they brought Linda Blair back too.
Apparently the only reason she was in the movie was because, like, she wanted a guarantee of funding for, like, an academy for acting or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't fucking remember, but it was something like that. I was like, so this literally is just you did it for the paycheck. I mean, at the same time, I gotta say, I at least admire her for that. Like, she's very honest when she says, I don't give a shit, I just did it.
Well,
because
she's old.
They...
Of course she's going to be honest. They don't give a fuck anymore. Dude.
Yeah.
She's like 89 years old.
Yeah, why should she give a fuck, you know? She's like, yeah, I did it for the paycheck. They just dump trucked the money in front of my lawn. And I was like, sign me up. So,
and
I respect the one
line where she's like, yeah, the priests wouldn't let me in because of the patriarchy, to the room where her daughter's being
exercised. Oh my
fucking
god, I forgot about that line.
It's like, they didn't let you in because you're not a priest, and you didn't want your demon daughter to literally fucking kill you. They both died. They literally both die. She's like, they wouldn't. Those fucking assholes who saved my daughter's life.
Men, they wouldn't let me, a woman, enter the fucking Thunderdome. Just like, fuck off.
Oh, but speaking of The Shining, did you guys see Dr. Sleep, the Mike Flanagan sequel to The Shining?
I never got around to it.
So fucking, I hate it. I hate it so goddamn much.
I never got around to watching it. I've heard mixed things. I've heard some people really like it, and some people are like Timmy.
I mean, it's, you know, it's obviously doomed to fail in certain ways, because it's fucking a sequel to, I mean, my favorite movie of all time, and I think one of the best movies of all time, The Shining. But I don't know. I think there are certain things that are admirable about it. I always love Ewan McGregor. I think he was great in the movie. I didn't really love how it felt like a lot of Stephen King stories, in that, you know, that way where it's like, oh, there's a, you know, the villain is just kind of one dimensional and not really super interesting. Like, I didn't really feel like comparing the demons or the ghosts at Overlook Hotel.
I mean,
to
Kubrick definitely like improved the fucking, the source material.
It's not even like, it's barely the same story. Like, the only thing the two have in common is that there is a character named Jack, he has a family, and then he's stuck in a hotel in a snowstorm. Like, that's as similar as the two get, because, yeah, like Nick said, it is such a massive elevation of the material. Like, he kind of took this, like, I mean, not to say that there is no value in the Shining book either, which I've read. But, like, the difference between the book and the movie is that the book is trying... I don't even know how best to describe it. It's like, the book is trying to be more in your face in terms of, like, no. He loves his family. It's just, alcoholism is just way too strong. Isn't it scary? Alcoholism turns him into a scary ghoul. But, like,
and
The
ghosts.
Shining is... Yeah, and ghosts, yeah. And, like, The Shining is, like... not only much more ambiguous than that, it's also much more terrifying, because what's scary isn't when you see the creepy ghouls. It's like, it's the implied, like, horror, the implied violence that comes from it. Honestly, just people talking. Like, it's an incredibly frightening film. It's one of the few films that I still get scared while watching it, you know? So, and I think that's, like, one of the most frustrating things about Dr. Sleep. Because, like, okay, I'm going to be honest. I was going to be biased with this film anyway, because Kubrick is my favorite director. Like, six or seven of his movies I consider some of my favorite films of all time. So I was obviously going to be biased in this. But I think my main frustration is just that the film just couldn't fucking decide what it wanted to be. Because I know Mike Flanagan said that he wanted to honor both the original Stephen King books and the movie, but it didn't do either well at all. Like, because, like, the first, like, two-thirds was just, like, shitty Stephen King shit, you know, where it's just, like, doing all, like, the standard Stephen King bullshit that just happens in Stephen King stories. Like, the when they get to the scene where Ewan McGregor and the Emperor bad guy from the Last Airbender live-action movie, like, are shooting their guns at, like, the fucking steam vampires in the forest, I was just like, is this a horror movie? Like, are we still, is this still The Shining? Like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, what is going on? You know, but, like, okay, whatever. Like, if this is the story of Dr. Sleep, which I haven't read, fine, whatever. I can live with that. But then, like, the last, like, half hour is just filled with all these dumb fucking member berries where it's like, remember this? Like, remember when Jack went to the bar and there was a bartender who said, it sure is empty tonight. Would you like a bottle? Remember when Ewan McGregor put his face in the hole where Jack Nicholson bashed it out with the axe? Remember in that scene in The Shining where fucking Shelley Duvall walks backwards while holding a fucking weapon while the main bad guy walks the stairs up to also assault the fucking main character while they're walking said stairs? Remember that shit? Well, we're gonna do that exact same shit again, because go fuck yourself. And then it just fucking ends with this dumb fucking bullshit of the vamp, of the ghosts just sticking their disgusting little fucking fingers into her dumb fucking face, and she just screams for 10 fucking minutes and then explodes, and then just do the same shit again to fucking Ewan McGregor. Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's the maddest you've ever been, I think.
I haven't seen the movie, so.
I've never heard you get that mad about anything.
I love The Shining.
So, wait, what do you mean? They're sticking their fingers in the... What was that part? I don't remember that.
Remember the scene where, like, Rebecca Ferguson, yeah, when was sucking Ewan McGregor's air coom from her mouth, and then Ewan McGregor was like, I fucking forgot what he said. It was like, it's a buffet and they're starving, and then the fucking door opens and it's filled with, like, Mr. Grady and the Olsen twins, and then the old lady in the bathtub, and they're, like, ganging up on her, and she's like, no, and then they're sticking their dirty fingers into her skin and then, like, sucking the air coom from her face or whatever before she turns into dust. It sounds really fucking stupid. It's even stupider than I'm describing it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. No, I think The Shining in general is, it's an interesting case study in adaptation, since the original author hated the adaptation so much he fucking made his own that totally failed.
Yeah, just kind which of I heard proof sucks. That,
yeah, I mean, well, I haven't seen it, but just, you know, based on, I shouldn't talk shit about it since I haven't seen it, but based on,
I personally hate fucking Stephen King's writing. Every time I read one of his books, it pisses me off. And I've read a lot of his books.
I read The Stand, and then I watched the adaptation, the ABC adaptation, which that was a pretty shitty show, despite the fact that they had Alexander Skarsgård as the main Randall Flagg bad guy. I didn't realize that a lot of his books are interconnected. There's, like, the Stephen King cinematic universe of bad, scary people.
Yeah, he throws dairy into all of his fucking books. And
I was gonna say, doesn't his, like, Dark Tower series, like, aren't those, like, the connecting threads between all his books or something like that? I haven't read them, but that's,
they definitely
what I've heard.
Tie into all of the other books. But he also just, like, his, what's the fucking 1163-24 or whatever the fuck.
When James Franco goes JFK. Back in time to stop JFK yeah. killing. Yeah. So
yeah, like that one, like he like throws in Derry and he like references it a bunch, and he does that a lot in his books.
Man, I remember when I was in, I think it was junior high. It was like 7th or 8th grade. And I remember I was trying to read It. And I read through it. I was like, I don't know what cocaine is like, but this definitely seems like something that was written by a guy who did way too much cocaine.
I read that book in 9th grade. And as soon as I was reading the fucking like gangbang scene, I was just like, dude, what the fuck?
I shouldn't have been allowed to read that part. I shouldn't have been allowed to read a lot of books I was reading, because I read the first Game of Thrones book when I was in middle school. And I was like, I don't think this should be here. Like, I don't think I should be reading this.
What? It was sorry, in
I
your
saw
library?
Ice and Fire series. And
it was in your was library at school?
Yeah.
Because it's not like they fucking read them.
Yeah, but that Tim's right. That definitely shouldn't be in like a middle school library. It's a very adult book.
Yeah, it's no gays allowed in books when it comes to school libraries, but incest for the wincest, that is totally okay. Go for it.
There's also gays as well as the incest.
Shh, they don't need to know that.
Was that literally a rule in your library? They wouldn't have queer stories or whatever?
No, I mean, there was like a banned books section, I think, something like that, but like, it only got this bad. I mean, I don't remember personally because high school was a while ago, but I don't remember it being this bad to the extent where it's like, if they be gay and in a book, then it's automatically just banned and burned to hell or something.
Oh, are you talking about like the don't say gay bills and all that?
No, Florida? I'm saying just like the book banning just in general, like just anything that could be remotely controversial in the slightest and make white people feel bad, whether it be about gay people or marginalized people or like literally anything that could be even slightly mature is just automatic. Mm-hmm. It's a widespread epidemic that's happening in school libraries that I think is just absolutely fucking unacceptable. It's just basically mass censorship. I'm not trying to be political. I'm just like, this is a personal feeling I have where it's like, stop banning books because books are part of, you know, making kids smart, fuckheads. Like, Jesus. It shouldn't be a political statement for me to say, stop banning books. Let kids read whatever the fuck they want. I don't think it should be controversial for me to say that.
No, yeah, totally agree.
I don't think so.
I don't mean to be so angry this episode, but I'm just really just ruffling my jimmies today.
As soon as I brought up Mike Flanagan, you were just like, no. No Flanagan.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
How do you guys feel about Flanagan? Well, besides Dr. Sleep, how do you feel about him?
What other shit has he done? I don't fucking know.
I remember I hated Hush as well. I thought Hush was stupid as shit.
He's done a lot of like Netflix series, like Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor.
Dude, Haunting of Hill House sucked. Except for that one episode where had that huge wonder. That shit was cool.
I haven't seen
Gerald's Game was ass. What else? What have I seen?
Gerald's Game is a great concept, though. He did make
Oculus. Yeah, Oculus, I heard Oculus was sucked. Decent. Yeah. I mean, I've only seen like a handful of his. I haven't seen any of his Netflix shows from what told me.
This is the one with Karen Gillan. I actually thought Oculus was okay.
What did you think we were talking about?
Mike Flanagan took
some other VR movie that was on like some streaming service I watched.
Mike Flanagan took the Chris Stuckman blood oath. Now he's connected to Stuckman for life, so we'll see how that pans out.
Oh, Shelby Oaks.
Yeah.
How is he tied to it? Did he produce it?
Yeah, he was an executive producer on it.
That was a crazy get for Stuckman. When I heard that, I was like, dude, that is pretty fucking impressive.
I love the Stuck.
I'm trying to look through some of it.
Have y'all seen Zuckerberg lately? Why is he looking so hot?
He's hot now?
Dude, I'm gonna show everybody a picture of the Zuck right now. Why does the Zuck look like this?
One last thing I was gonna let you guys. Yeah. One last thing I was gonna mention. He has a film called The Life of Chuck, which apparently was very well received at TIFF. I never got a chance to see it because it never showed up at New York Film Festival, but supposedly it's very good, so there's that. Oh, it's also based on another Stephen King thing. Man, Mike Flanagan just really likes Stephen King shit.
I hate Stephen King shit. So maybe that's why we don't like him, because he's just Stephen King's.
Because wasn't like, Gerald's Game also based on like a Stephen King novella or novel or something like that?
If I'm not 100% sure, but it feels like a Stephen King story to me. That is, it, I mean, Gerald's Game was a pretty cool concept. I thought like just BDSM going wrong because whoever tied you up has a heart attack and dies. And you're
well, that's why Stephen King's so popular. He all of his movies have, or all of his books have great concepts.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys think of Pennywise, like the It franchise?
I honestly like the newer movies more than I liked the book.
I think Bill Skarsgård gives a great performance as Pennywise the Clown, but, you know, I wouldn't say they're, like, anything exceptional, you know? Like, I mean, at the time when I saw them, I was fairly young when they came out, so, like, I was a bit less of an asshole that hated everything. But I also kind of like just kids doobie adventuring
I was riding high on the Stranger Things vibes when that shit came out, so I was like super, super chill with it.
And they even got one of the Stranger Things kids like in the movie, which was funny.
Oh yeah.
It was weird how much they like sexualized that little girl. I remember watching it and I was just like, there's gonna be a bunch of fucking old weirdos that are fucking watching this movie for the wrong reason.
What?
Yeah, it's like
I don't know what you're talking about. They sexualized the little redheaded girl?
In the fucking first movie? Hardcore. Like, in that fucking scene where they're at the river and shit, and just like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Am I crazy, Tim? Did they like...
No, wait, what? I say this again? I thought
I'm feeling like a weirdo if I'm not the only one who noticed it.
I thought I knew what you were talking about at first, but when you start... The more you kept talking, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
They just like... wrote that like little girl like she was like an adult almost, and it just made me feel really uncomfortable.
No, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could
agree with that. Yeah, I mean,
well, on the topic of Stephen King adaptations, I'm sure Kulturnik, you're excited for The Monkey, right?
What's The Monkey? I never even heard of this.
It's the upcoming film from Oz Perkins, who did Long Legs, which I know
He's already got a new film coming out.
Oh yeah, I think the teaser for the film like played before I watched Long Legs. Like that's how like quickly he's already moved on to his next thing, which I thought was kind of funny.
Damn, that's a quick turnaround. Maybe he's had Long Legs in the barrel for a while or something. But yeah, I really love I think everything that Oz Perkins has done so far, like Black Coat's Daughter.
Really?
What was the other one he did? Black Coat's Daughter.
He did I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House and Gretel and Hansel.
Oh, okay. Gretel and Hansel I wasn't as crazy about, but I like that.
Another Megan movie?
Oh, definitely. That movie did super well. It was like a...
I didn't mind it, I guess.
Viral TikTok craze. But
just because of the dance.
Yeah, I'm the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House. That was pretty good. I saw it a long time ago now. I can't really say either way. I remember liking it. But yeah, I mean, why didn't you guys like Long Legs?
I never watched it. I'm sure I'll like it when I watch it.
So I was thinking about maybe watching I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House and Gretel and Hansel. But honestly, after Black Coat's Daughter and Long Legs, I was like, fucking Christ, these are so boring. Like, I don't want to sit through another one of this again. So for all I know, those movies are masterpieces and I'm just missing out or whatever. But yeah, I think both Black Coat's Daughter. Wait, sorry. Is that right? Black Coat's Daughter. Yeah. Black Coat's Daughter and Long Legs are just some of the most underwhelming, just like boring ass shit ever. That just like, they're both movies that are just like filled with just so many, just like Family Guy moments where in the sense that it's just like it insists
you and these moments.
I mean, like it insists upon itself, Lois. Like that's what I keep thinking of when I watch those movies. They're filled with so many it insists upon itself, Lois moments where it's like, gosh, isn't how scary this is, or you know, isn't this scary? Like it's constantly bombarding me, telling me how scary it is. Like, a lot of it isn't really that scary. At times, it honestly got super comical. Like, literally any scene with Nicolas Cage, I was struggling to hold in my laughter because I thought it was the most, like, unintentionally, like, funny cringe shit ever. I was just like, man, this is what they were saving up. Like, this is the Nicolas Cage performance that Oz Perkins was really, like, fucking hyping up or whatever. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, it felt more in line with something like Face Off than like anything remotely scary, if I'm being honest.
I'll watch it this week.
I mean, I feel like Oz Perkins and Nicolas Cage both, or maybe Nicolas Cage isn't cognizant of how he comes off to like half the theater every time he makes a big swing acting decision like
he has
that. No. I don't know. I don't know what his deal is, cuz no one else acts the way he does or makes the decisions he does. So they had
to know.
It's
almost like theater acting. It's weird.
They had to know that, like you said, Tim, a lot of people are going to find it comical. I personally thought it was great. And I thought the prosthetic work and everything that they did it does a lot of legwork to sort of make you forget that you're watching Nicolas Cage be an insane
person.
Don't
spoil it. Don't spoil the ending, at least.
Yeah, won't spoil it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love Nicolas Cage. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love Nicolas Cage so, so much. Like, regardless of what kind of movies he's in and regardless of the quality of the movie, he always gives 110% no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter if it's adaptation or fucking Willy's Wonderland, you know? Like, he gives the same amount of effort to both roles, and I fucking commend him for that. Like, he is legitimately, no joke, one of my favorite actors of all time. Like you said, he, in this film, it's also no exception that he does give it his 110%. I mean, he did it bad. He swung the entirely different direction, but, like, sure, I guess he was trying, you know? Like, the whole time I was just, like, the first, like, two acts of Long Legs, I was so bored and I was just waiting for something to happen, you know? Like, and then by the last, like, third, I was, like, it honestly became like sort of a barnyard level type movie where I was kind of chuckling and I was like, man, they really think this shit is scary. And I was kind of laughing to myself like every like 5 to 10 minutes of the last act. I don't know. That's just me. The what was the other one I said? Black Coat's Daughter. Yeah, that one was also super underwhelming, super boring, super nothing happening. I was just like, by like the last like half hour, it's just the same shit again. Like last half hour when something like finally fucking happens, I was just like, this is more comical and stupid than like scary, if I'm being honest.
How could it be? I mean, I don't know if I'm not going to go into too many spoilers about it, but because I don't think Nick has seen in this one either. But I don't understand how it could be comical that like this girl is plagued by this demon and she becomes in this kind of insane state of Stockholm syndrome that she learns to like love the demon and want the demon around in her life. Like, I don't know how that's funny. That's fucking pretty sad. That's pretty disturbing to me.
It was just the execution of like the kills, especially towards like the last like act where I was just like, oh my God. Like, you know, so I guess like funny isn't the right word. It's more like groan worthy. I was groaning more than I was like chuckling or laughing. I still got like some ironic enjoyment out of the last act, but it was still just like, oh my God, you know, it's very much not for me. I should preface that Oz Perkins is not for me. I understand why you like him very much, because I'll give him this. His movies are very well shot. Like whatever cinematographer he's working with, don't keep him close by your side, because his movies look great. I'll admit that. I won't deny that.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But in terms of Long Legs and the Nicolas Cage performance being kind of comical, I think that's sort of baked into the concept, because I was reading this interview with Oz Perkins. He was talking about how he's kind of become sick of this genre. I guess, you know, David Fincher is kind of a big perpetrator of this in certain ways, where they kind of romanticize the serial killer and turn them into these like brilliant geniuses, you know what I'm talking about. So he wanted to make Nicolas Cage look like and act like a fucking weird, disgusting, like almost comical, socially inept dumbass, almost, you know. He didn't want to romanticize the serial killer at all. So
I get what you're saying about like the romanticization, Jesus, of the serial killer, but I don't I don't blame David Fincher for that. If anything, he does what Oz Perkins thinks he's doing in Long Legs. You know, like, he doesn't glamorize the Zodiac Killer in Zodiac. Like, he makes him very frightening. Like, even if we never see him, we see how frightening he is just through his presence alone. You know, I think you're more talking about, like,
I'd say more Seven. He does.
No, but they're always geniuses. They're always like these next level fucking, you know, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I guess, but like, yeah, they're smart, but like, there was never a point where we think he's like, it's not like the, what the fuck is that, a Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix show that came out, like Monster or whatever, you know, like, it's not like that where it's like, oh yes, isn't Jeffrey Dahmer so hot? Like, there's never a moment like that in any of David Fincher's like serial killer movies, you know? So
Yeah, it's not a romanticization. I guess it's this like intellectualizing them and making them to, you know, have this kind of, they have a leg up on everyone at all time. They're they're master manipulators, and I don't know. I guess he wanted to portray a serial killer that's probably more in line with how these people actually are. They're just like fucking total like social malcontents that can't figure out how to fit into society, you know? So
sure,
I appreciated that.
Yeah. So,
did y'all watch the last Saw? No.
No.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Did you see that they're bringing back Tobin Bell in the next one? How are they even gonna do that?
I mean, the last couple of Saw movies, they've pulled shit out of their ass to force him into the movie. So why stop now?
I guess so. It's so weird.
See, but I like that whatever. Though. I like how stupidly convoluted and over the top the Saw movies have become, you know, like,
yeah,
they're not necessarily good movies, but like, they're so much fun, you know. But
how would you compare the Terrifier franchise to Saw?
I feel like Saw is way more tongue-in-cheek and way more like self-aware on how stupid and like dumb it is, you know. Like, by the time you get to like Saw 6, it's just like, okay, like, they're kind of in on the joke as much as like us, you know. Like, I will admit that like some of the Saw sequels in between 1 and 6, well, 1 is like unironically, like, I mean, it's not like an amazing movie, but like unironically, it's a good horror film for like what it's going for. And then 2 through 4 do take themselves like a bit too seriously, but like, because everything is so stupid and over the top anyway that you can't help but like laugh in like a barnyard level type way. And then like it kind of wraps itself around to like 6 and 7 and X, where these films are way more self-aware and way more just like, yeah, these are really dumb, these are really stupid, and it's like, and I can get a lot of enjoyment because of that like self-awareness that like the later Saw films have. So,
I would say Terrifier's issue is not lack of self-awareness. I think it's very aware of how dumb it is.
Yeah, you wouldn't agree with that, Tim? I think I would definitely agree with that.
I mean, I'm not saying they don't have any self-awareness at all, but like, they still expect you to give a shit about the story at the end of the day. They still expect you to give a shit about Sienna as a character, and I don't, so, you know. What can you do?
So you'd rather there be no characters you actually care about?
I'd rather the movie just stop diddling around and stop bullshitting me and just get straight into like the meat and potatoes of why I showed up and paid money for to watch these movies in the first place. Like,
but both
if there's like
movies
30
really start
if there's
off with
like 30 minutes, if there's
kill.
30 minutes of like character drama bullshit and a kill hasn't happened yet, then I feel like I'm being duped. Like,
they literally
kill
somebody immediately in both Terrifier movies.
I mean,
the newer ones.
Well, but there are still gaps, is what I'm saying. There's still gaps in between individual kills where it's just like, okay, now time to do the ever so predictable family drama bullshit.
In Saw, it's literally this. Oh, I'm just now realizing you're a person I slighted. And they spend 30 minutes talking about how, oh, you're the guy I slighted. Do I decide to help you or not?
What's funny about Saw is that, like, because they killed off Tobin Bell in the third one and they didn't realize they were going to make more sequels, like, them trying to attempt to force him into the stories of the other ones, even though he's still dead, in of itself is really fucking funny and amusing to me. Whether or not they did that intentionally, like, doesn't matter. Like, it's their its role overall within the film of, like, trying to make him this, like, mega god who can just fucking 4D chess every single person in the fucking world is just, like, really funny and amusing to me, you know? It's, like, it's kind of like watching bad anime. You know, like, seeing, like, the villainous character just, like, be so maniacally villainous and predict every single fucking step that the main character does or something like that, you know?
Like the gun demon?
Sure.
Just kidding.
No, I knew what you were going for, and I just didn't care.
So, I don't know. You guys want to call it here?
Yeah, sure, we have a lot of spooky episodes to go this season, or this
we'll get more into the horror next time. We already did a Chris Stuckman shout-out, so that'll suffice.
Next week, Nick is going to tell us scary stories and to the skeptics.
Yeah,
and, we'll turn off all the lights and get real spooky in here.
Yeah, wait, before we do that, I just want to ask you guys, like, how skeptical are you of ghosts? Do you think it's all supernatural things? Are we just meat and bones? No afterlife, no souls, no ghosts. Like, where you stand on all this stuff, real quick.
Well, I don't necessarily not believe that there's an afterlife, but there's a difference between that and then just, like, ooh, I saw Casper in fucking Penhurst Asylum, you know? Like, there's a difference between... Those are two completely different things.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I think people see what they want to see a lot of the time. And, yeah, I don't necessarily believe that ghosts are roaming around everywhere, but I don't necessarily believe that there's no afterlife either. So,
okay. I just wanted a little background on where you guys stand, just so I can have a better idea of which stories would be the best for me to choose. So,
that being said, if you do turn us into believers, then I consider that a job well done on your end.
I am a believer. I'm actually a huge Justin Bieber fan, everybody, so...
Well, some of the things that I'm going to tell you guys, I mean, it's not all going to be ghost stories. It's going to be like research that I've compiled about certain like supernatural phenomena, whether it's ghosts, afterlife stuff, or aliens, stuff like that. It'll be just all weird supernatural shit. I feel like you'll find it interesting.
I probably believe it. I think I believe in aliens.
Yeah.
I also don't believe in... I mean... I believe that it is possible that there is life outside of not just, you know, Earth, but outside of our own solar system. But, like, when I say that, I'm thinking of more, like, you know, bacteria or
microscopic
something.
Organisms.
Like, microscopic organisms that could, like, feasibly, like, survive in a different environment that's not Earth. There's a difference between believing in that and then believing in fucking little green men that stick their butt plugs in people's assholes. Like, there's a difference there. Those are two wildly different things.
Yeah, but if intelligent life, the you know, environmental factors for intelligent life sprung up on Earth, we already know that there are literally, like, thousands of planets that are hospitable to life forms like humans and other things that live on Earth. We know they exist. We can't get to them, but we know they're there. So, like, why couldn't that have happened over there too?
Well, you have to keep in mind that, like, biologically, our existence is a fucking miracle. You know, like, we've only been alive for, what, like, 5,000 years? No, that's the Bible. We've been alive for... we've been alive for, like... Okay, compared to, like, the existence of the universe as we know it, we've only existed for, like, a tiny, like, millisecond of a fraction of this entire universe's existence. You know, like, fucking dinosaurs have lived longer than we have, and we only exist because an asteroid just accidentally devastated the entire fucking, like, dinosaur, like, population as a whole. Which led to the rise of mammals, which then led to the rise of different species, which then led to the evolution of what would essentially become a proto version of us. So, like, us existing, like, in of itself is just a miracle that it happened in the first place. And I'm not saying something like that couldn't happen in some other hospitable planet somewhere in the universe, but, like, are the chances of that happening anywhere else like really that high? Like, no, I don't think so. You know, like who knows?
They're probably pretty high.
They're high. I mean, higher that they have happened. The universe is like literally unfathomably large. Even what we can see of it, the known universe, we'd never even be able to explore even a fraction of it.
I think the real question is like, how long ago did they develop, and could they have had the time to actually?
That's why it's interesting that you bring up like the time we've been around, because like in the alien UFO community, the big thing that to talk about is like we've been around for 200,000 years of, you know, give or take, different, you know, different evolutions of our species or whatever. But could you imagine a species of us that's been evolving and around for millions of years instead? Like, think about the technological advances. Think about the ways they could easily come to us and have technology that makes them effectively like gods to us, you know, because their technological advancements have come so far in comparison to our own, you know.
I guess I'm just even kind thinking
about us in the last like 200 years, our like technological advancements have been fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like 100 years ago, we were still getting to places by horse, you know, like 200 years ago, people didn't know what a fucking factory was. And then like 300 years ago, people didn't know you could shoot fire out of their hands with like guns, you know, like again, like the amount of technological progress we've made as a species is also a miracle. So, you know, yeah, that could feasibly happen to like some other alien species maybe, but like I guess I'm kind of like in the mindset where it's like if there is an evolved species that is just as inquisitive and just as intelligent as us, but let's say they have like better technology that can like transport from one galaxy to the next and like arrive at on Earth like in a heartbeat, just like that, you know, I think we would have actually seen more feasible proof or at least some legitimate attempt at contact other than just like, oh my god, my cousin Jerry told me that one guy that this other guy once said that like maybe there was some weird strange thing that happened in the planet and like in the night sky one time, you know.
Yeah, like, see, this I think is like a similar this more... is like a similar thing this is a similar thing to ghosts for me, where it's like people see what they want to see. Like, I don't necessarily think all ghosts or all alien sightings are real. I just think out there somewhere aliens exist.
No, but yeah. Tim, I mean, it's so much more than just like hearsay at this point. There was a literal congressional hearing about this where former intelligence officers, former naval pilots, there was a huge inquiry into this, and there was a lot of gridlock about it because there's been throughout our government, there's been a culture of cover up around this issue for whatever reason, and there's a lot of interesting conspiracy theories around why they're covering it up, but it's starting to leak out that we have possession apparently of aliens and their spacecraft. So
again, it's like picks or it didn't happen, you know. Like, you can say that, like I can say that I have the like the amulet that Abraham Lincoln had one time in his life. Like, I can say that shit, but if I don't show you proof that I do have Abraham Lincoln's amulet, then like that doesn't like, so what, you know? Like, I need to see,
I have
like
the world's largest collection of butt plugs.
Would you, but yeah, would you say that
no
under
way
oath?
I can verify
under
that
oath of
because
would you say it under oath of perjury though? That's what these people did. They said they took an oath in front of Congress that they're giving the whole truth, nothing but the truth, blah blah blah. So help me God, and they said all of these things. So that to me, you know, that it's not proof really tangible, but it's definitely more than we've ever had. So it's something to keep an eye on for me, at least.
They're
know?
Also the military whose job is to work in shady, like, government secrecy. Like, I'm just saying, like, I'm taking
their
word
with,
like, a grain
though.
Of salt.
They're whistleblowers, okay, who want to try to change that culture, though. All right, anyway, we'll do this more of this.
We're going to have to get to this next
we'll
week.
Do this, yeah. Yeah, we'll do this next time. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Sorry I got loud. If you're listening to this while driving in the car, I hope I didn't cause any car crashes. So, thanks.
The butt plug thing was real, by the way, everybody. So,
all right. Bye.
There we go.
Bye.